I welcome you this morning to Trinity Chapel for our Fall Festival service. We'll be following the order of Matins, as you find it beginning on page 109 in the front part of your hymn book. Dearly beloved, we have come together in the presence of God, our Heavenly Father, to render thanks for the great benefits that we have received at His hand, to set forth His most worthy praise, to hear His holy word, and to ask for ourselves and on behalf of others those things that are necessary for our life and salvation. Oh, come, let us worship Him. Let us kneel and bow down before Him. Let us confess our sins with penitent hearts and obtain forgiveness by His infinite grace and mercy. The Almighty and merciful Lord has granted us pardon and forgiveness of all our sins for Jesus' sake, grace for true repentance and amendment of life, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Our first lesson is recorded in Psalm 119, beginning with verse 33. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things, and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant, who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. Thanks be to God.
His own robe of righteousness, my highest good, shall clothe me in glory through faith in His blood.
Ephesians chapter 5, beginning with verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Thanks be to God. Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 13, and our Lord says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Let us unite our hearts in prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for the gift of your holy word, by which you have given us the knowledge of Christ our Savior and placed us upon the path of heaven. We pray that you would stir up our hearts today and always in sincere faith, that we may continue to heed the voice of our Good Shepherd and follow that voice, that we someday may enjoy you in your glory. We ask it all in his saving name. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed who have been purchased and bought back to God by the suffering, death, and resurrection of his only Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's grace and kindness and compassion are yours to be found alone in this Savior. Amen. The text for our sermon today is taken from the third reading, which is from our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, the seventh chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew. And we again hear verses 13 and 14 as follows in his holy name. And Jesus says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. About 11 years ago, I was talking to a fellow alumnus from Bethany, and we were talking about our years on the campus and so on, and our fond memories of it. We had both been here around the same time back in the 70s and 80s and so on. And he told me something that I never knew about him, and apparently hardly any ever knew about him, and that was that, well, he had grown up, first of all, in a very good Christian family, a nice Christian home, and a Lutheran background, and sought out Bethany College for that very reason. But he said that when he arrived on campus here, he actually, in his heart, was pushing the faith away, and in fact did not even consider himself to be a Christian when he arrived on campus. And yet through his religion courses, the classes he took in religion, and especially a particular professor that was often teaching him, he was brought back around again to the faith and placed back on that narrow path that Jesus is describing in our text for today. And he said that hardly anybody in his life ever knew about it unless he told them, of course. And couldn't have told by his outward life. Morally, he looked like he was living a fine life and everything and showed outwardly Christian virtues. But he said, "In my heart, I had started to drift away, but it was through that instructor's instruction from the Word of God that I came back." A few months later, I ran into that very teacher that he had and asked him if he was ever aware of that. And he said, "No, I didn't know that was the case at all." What our Lord Jesus is talking about in our text today is something that takes place often without any observation. It's something that takes place just down inside of our hearts, in our souls, as to how we relate to him. He uses very simple imagery that all of us can understand. That there are basically two paths in this world, in this life. The one spiritual path is the broad path that leads to destruction, and the other is this narrow path that leads to life through faith in him as our Savior. It's important to note that the context of this little parable that Jesus gives us is found in his Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount was spoken to his faithful, those who had already come to know and understand that it's only through faith in him alone as our Savior that we can have the hope of getting to heaven. And Jesus now addresses his believers, his faithful, because he knows that there's still this powerful temptation to wander off onto this broad road that can lead to destruction. And so let's first of all begin by just examining a little bit about this broad way, this broad highway that seems so inviting to us. What is it about it that he is concerned about will be so appealing to his faithful to possibly lead them astray? Well, first of all, it's a highway that's very easy to find. And it has multiple points of access as far as reaching it. If you've ever driven down the interstate through Iowa, I-35, and gone off to a small little town that's just off the interstate a little bit, ask anybody in those towns where the interstate is, and they can tell you exactly. They know exactly where it is and how to get there. And so it is with this broad road that our Lord Jesus is talking about. Every human being knows where it is. It's where we want to be by nature. Every one of us knows the ramps that we need to take to get up onto this highway of unbelief and of pushing Christ away and of chasing the things of this world. You and I know exactly how to get on that highway. Even devout Christians who have, by God's grace, been on the narrow path their whole life, we still immediately know how to get back on this broad highway. So it's very accessible to us. The other reason that Jesus is concerned that this broad highway of unbelief is potentially tempting to us is because it seems so easy. It seems to be so accommodating to what we would want and to making us feel comfortable and secure in this world and in this life. The signs that line this broad highway advertise to us things that are really attractive and alluring. Think of all of the different billboards that the devil can put up in this world that can lure us away from Christ and wanting to follow him. Money and sex and power and pride. So many different billboards that can attract us. There's so many good restaurants to eat at on this broad highway. And it just naturally seems like the best place where we should be traveling. And the thing that is especially tempting for us, those of us that have been blessed by God's grace through the work of the Holy Spirit to be on the narrow path through Christ to heaven, the thing that's especially tempting to us is this. On this broad highway, there are signs inviting us to get off of the narrow path and its difficulty and to join the masses on the broad highway because it's so fun and exciting and inviting, with the promise, the signs promise, that we can always find our way back to the narrow path. So that when the time finally comes, when your hair turns white and you have to start making funeral plans, you can finally find your way off of the broad road again, back to the narrow path. But of course, the temptation is and the problem is that once we become accustomed to life on the broad superhighway, we'll just stay there with the flow of traffic. And getting back off will be of great difficulty. And that's happened to many who were at one time on the narrow path, who thought, I've got plenty of years to go back. Another danger for us is that this is where the crowd is. Our Lord Jesus uses the imagery of multitudes traveling on this highway. It's the popular route. It's the way that just seems to make the most sense. Going on the narrow path seems to contradict our reason, contradict what we see and what we would experience in life. And the broad path of unbelief and of making this world our heaven, that broad path is so appealing. And on top of that, the fact that there are so many people on that path, it makes those of us on the narrow path begin to question, is this really right? Am I maybe blowing it here? Is it possible that I'm wasting my whole life and my time and energy on this Christ figure and this heaven that's supposed to be coming, and maybe none of that even exists? What if I'm missing out on life? What if I'm missing out on things because I'm not on that big highway? And these temptations are powerful for all of us at every stage of life, but they seem to especially be attractive. The signs seem to be more appealing even in our college years. So our Lord Jesus is concerned about his faithful on the narrow path, that they are not tempted back away to this broad road that leads to destruction. And so let's then examine this narrow path of Christ. And why does he describe it as being so narrow? Shouldn't this be something that's easy? Why is this Christ path something that is depicted as being so challenging? Well, first of all, unlike that broad path, it is hard to find. It's not something we naturally in our hearts know how to find. And it's even hard to find directions to it sometimes. When I was a little boy, I grew up right here in Mankato, and I remember 6th, 7th grade, I'd be biking around the hilltop area up here around the campus, and it always bugged me when somebody would stop in a car and ask me for directions to Mankato State, because to the upper campus, it was pretty difficult to give them directions there, and I didn't know the name of the streets. So I'd just tell them something so they'd take off sometimes. But when it comes to finding the narrow path that leads to life, there are few who find it, and it is difficult for us to find. And there are very few in this world who know how to give us direction there. Finding this narrow path of Christ can only come by the revelation of God Himself through His Word and the Scriptures, and from the mouths of those who stand and teach and preach that Word to us. And the reason it is such a hard thing to find is because of all places it takes us to a dead body. It takes us to the foot of Calvary through God's word and sacraments, where we find our Lord crucified, shedding His blood for every one of our sins. And only through faith in Him, in that way, the truth and the life, can we have our entrance into heaven. But this is so contradictory to what I feel in my heart and think in my mind and what the world says. It's so contradictory to where the masses are going. That is why this narrow path is so difficult to find. And in addition to that, there are very few on this road. And that sometimes is challenging to us. We are a minority in this world, those who are traveling on that narrow path. Jesus says there are few who find it. The building just next door is called the Ilvesaker Center, named after Dr. Sigurd Ilvesaker. His father was a great theologian. His father has written a commentary on the Gospels, and in studying that for this text, he says this, and it's a sentence that I think really rings true, about the word few, when Jesus says there are few who find it. He says that this word few is one of the most solemn words in all of Scripture. And that is true. It just kind of goes deep down into your heart when you hear that. There are few who find this narrow path. How wonderful that we've been blessed to know where it is. I remember a number of years ago, I had a young lady come to me, so probably college-age student, from a wonderful Christian home and professed a strong faith in her Savior and so on. And she wanted to talk to me because she was having difficulty finding somebody that would date her and stay dating with her, which surprised me. She was not only very pretty, but a wonderful personality, very intelligent, very easy to be around, and it just seemed surprising she would have problems. But she said the difficulty was that when it got to the point of having to explain to her boyfriends that because of her Christian faith she wanted to preserve her virginity until marriage, they would often dump her. And oftentimes would try to pressure her away from thinking that way. And she was in a quandary that was she possibly being held back in life and possibly not having other blessings and joys in life because of having to try and stay on that narrow path. The fact that we can be so few and our thinking can be so different from the masses can sometimes be very challenging and very difficult for us. Another reason why our Lord tells us that this path is, this entrance into heaven is so difficult is because the gate is narrow. The gate is so narrow, in fact, you have to turn sideways to go through it, and it scrapes you on both sides so that you can't bring anything in. You can't bring any of yourself in the sense of your righteousness and how good you are. You cannot possibly get through this little narrow gate into heaven, somehow assuming that because I've been such a wonderful person, God is going to reward me. entrance into this narrow gate requires an acknowledgement, in accordance with the Word of God, that all of us deserve nothing but damnation from God, and that it is only through Christ alone that we have the hope of heaven. But as we go and squeeze through that narrow door, God has given us the holy, righteous robe of Christ our Savior, since our own won't make it through the door. He has dressed you and me instead with the beautiful robe of Jesus' holiness that we now wear as we enter. Jesus says that this path is not going to be an easy one. He says, difficult is the way that leads to life. Whenever I observe a baptism of a little child and I hear the sponsors respond to that great question in the baptismal order, do you renounce the devil and all his wicked works and all his wicked ways? Yes. And in our confirmation vows, when we say, do you renounce the devil and all his wicked works and all his wicked ways? Yes. Easy words to say, but living it, that's a little bit tougher. Day after day, we're badgered with temptations. It's difficult for us to go back before the altar of Christ and bow before him in repentance, not just of the sins that are easy to repent, but the ones we really love, the ones we want to hold on to. Those are the tough ones. How difficult the road of faith is for the Christian. In some ways, it sounds surprising that Jesus would describe the entrance into heaven, the path to heaven, as difficult. Because on one level, we can say it is the easiest thing possible. Christ has taken care of it all, paying for all of our sins, giving us the holiness we need to get into heaven. What could be easier than that? We don't have to do anything. But the path of faith, of staying in this faith, of holding on to that, trusting in that, and following his word, that is tough work. It's hard. There are potholes on the way. There are cliffs and jagged rocks around us on the way that make it very hard to stay in this path of faith. And so even though the doctrine of grace itself is as easy as possible, the path of faith is likewise very difficult, as Jesus says. And battling our sinful human nature is one of the most difficult internal struggles that you will find. And yet God, by his grace, continues to keep our feet on that path, continues to keep us walking with Christ, bowing before his cross, and receiving its wonderful blessings in word and sacrament. As we travel on this different road as believers than the masses are traveling on, and the broad road that's leading to destruction, it's easy for us sometimes to envy them, because sometimes their lives seem to go a lot better and a lot smoother than ours do. And sometimes we might be tempted to look at them and their lives and look at ourselves and think, you know, what am I missing? What am I possibly giving up or missing out on because I'm not on the broad highway? But our Lord Jesus would have us keep in mind what the final destination is of each road, because they're going in completely different directions. And when you and I, by God's grace, finally squeeze through that narrow door into heaven and get to see what it's like to live in there with the angels and look back at that rough and rocky and troubled road that we came on, that difficult path of faith, are we ever going to be grateful that God placed us there? Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. You may be seated.
your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever.
Please be seated. Good morning, and on behalf of all of us here at Bethany Lutheran College, welcome. This weekend was filled with a wide variety of activities, and I hope that you had an opportunity to sample at least a few of them. And it is no accident that we gather here this morning in this chapel to gather around God's holy word. It is the focal point of what we do here. And I want to thank Chaplain Molstead for his words of encouragement that we continue to stay focused on Jesus as the only way that we are able to continue on the path of faith. I want to thank the music department and the wide variety of musical richness that they provided here this morning to enhance our worship. And I want to thank you as parents, extended family, friends and alumni of Bethany who have in so many ways supported us and continue to support us so that we are able to offer, to continue to offer, a Christ-centered education for young men and women. Just one reminder, if your schedule allows, you're welcome to join us for lunch in the dining center here immediately following the service. And whether your travels take you near or far, we pray that you're able to travel safely. And we certainly welcome you to come and join us again. We always enjoy seeing friends on campus, so don't be strangers. Don't wait for a year from now. Come whenever to join us. So So thank you and have a great rest of the weekend.